You are listening to WOT Port Washington. This is Sports Section, and I'm fortunate enough to once again have Kenny Albert joining me on the line. So, Kenny, again, thank you for joining us. So we'll jump right in. You know, you're covering the Stanley Cup Final right now on the radio. So before we dive into the actual game, what's the biggest difference for you when you're announcing the hockey games on TV versus on the radio?
Well, Eric, there's definitely a major difference, and I bounced back and forth a little bit during the regular season handling the radio for the Rangers, and I worked some TV games for NBC, and then in the playoffs, it's TV for the first three rounds and then radio. And on radio, you have to be a lot more descriptive. The listeners obviously can't see the game, so you have to describe where the puck is, where the players are, and it's a nonstop call, as opposed to TV, where you can take a bit of a step back and let your color analysts have some more time to describe what's happening during the play, as opposed to after the play ends. And other little things, such as giving the score and time a lot more often on radio, because on TV they can see it up in the left-hand corner on the graphics. So I think those are the main differences. Both are a lot of fun, TV and radio. On radio, the game sounds like it has a much more frenetic pace because you're talking a lot faster and describing all of the action as opposed to some of it. So you give yourself little reminders before a radio game, especially when coming off the three rounds of TV earlier in the playoffs.
Right, so yeah, obviously, especially hockey. I think hockey is probably the most difficult sport to call on radio because it's just so the pace is just so quick, and you have to know the guys' names, you know, much easier because people, obviously, as you said, can't see what's going on. But moving to
on TV side, you know, sometimes you can cheat a little bit. You can look down if you have to.
Right.
But on radio, you can't do that. You have to know everybody, and you know, it's funny to me. I get that question all the time, and for me personally, hockey is actually the easiest sport to do. I guess because I've been doing it for so long, longer than the other sports, and just the pace, as I spoke about. But for others, it certainly might be a little more challenging, and especially when you have to say some of the European names, some of the Russian names, for example, for the first time. But once you learn them, they kind of roll off your tongue, just like Smith or Jones.
Right, yeah. And it also sounds better, so... But moving to the Stanley Cup Final, the Vegas Golden Knights and Washington Capitals, obviously first time since, 1968 that an expansion team has made it to the Stanley Cup Final, and that year there was an expansion division, so by default there was going to be an expansion team in the Cup Final. So what do you think it is about the Vegas team this year that's allowed them to reach this point as a first-year franchise?
Well, I think it's an incredible story. Nobody expected this, not even the Golden Knights players, coaches, staff, nobody. Their owner, Bill Foley, his goal was 25 to 30 wins this year, and then playoffs in year three, and a Stanley Cup in year six, and a lot of people thought that was even a reach. But you look back at the expansion draft last June, the rules were somewhat relaxed compared to the past expansion drafts, but they were still picking the 10th, 11th, or 12th best player off every other team's roster. So there's not another general manager in the league who would have traded his own roster for the Golden Knights roster back on October 1st, and if anyone tells you otherwise, they're lying. They have a great goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, three Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh, great coach in Gerard Gallant and his staff, and 13 players had career years as far as points, so everything seemed to come together. They started the season 8-1 despite having to use five different goaltenders during the month of October due to injuries, and they just continued along, and a lot of people thought they would drop off in January or February. That never happened, and they swept the L.A. Kings in the first round, beat a terrific Sharks team in the second round, and beat a really good Winnipeg team in the third round, and here they are, three wins away from a Stanley Cup title.
Yeah, definitely would be one of the best, I think, sportsters of all time. And you mentioned the expansion draft, and just being a big Rangers fan, the Vegas Golden Knights had a chance to take Michael Grabner away from the Rangers, and they took Oscar Lindbergh instead, so I thought that was a little interesting, and just imagine how much better they could be if they had Grabner.
Well, I think a lot of it was salary cap related. I think it was like a jigsaw puzzle for the Knights. Grabner had a higher salary than Lindbergh, so that probably came into play.
Yeah.
They did take some big contracts from other teams and younger players from other teams, so whatever they did, it certainly paid off.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the team that's playing the Washington Capitals, they've obviously had their share of playoff disappointment over the past decade or so with Alex Ovechkin. But what do you think has been the biggest difference between the Capitals this year as opposed to the previous couple of years where the roster really hasn't changed that much?
Right. I don't think there's much difference. They did lose some veterans following last season. Carl Walsner went to Montreal. Justin Williams left. Kevin Shattenkirk, who they had acquired at the trade deadline, and one or two others. So it is a little bit of a younger roster on the back end as far as depth this year. They've had some rookie defensemen playing throughout the season. But you see that with every NHL team. About a quarter of every team's roster changes. But as far as the key players, you know, from Braden Holtby on out, some of the defensemen, Niskanen, Orlov, Orpik, and then the forwards, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, right on down the line, Nicholas Backstrom, those guys are pretty much the same. They ran into a great Pittsburgh team in the second round each of the last 2 years, and again this year. And the Penguins got by those series in 2016 and 17, despite the fact that the Capitals won the President's Trophy with the best regular season record. And this year it was the Caps' turn, so really not much of a different team, but they beat Pittsburgh this year. They beat Tampa Bay in the conference final after falling behind 3-2. These teams are so close, Eric. There's so much parity. You can look at Washington, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay. Any of those teams could have been in the Stanley Cup final. A lot of people thought Boston might get there. So it's just that close, and only one team can advance out of the East and one team out of the West.
Yeah, I mean, you know, very, very. I mean, Tampa had a phenomenal season, as you mentioned, and Pittsburgh, obviously, two-time. They've won the Cup the past 2 years. I think, you know, Washington also, I think you have to look at, like, the third and fourth line guys, like Lars Eller really stepping up, especially with Kuznetsov going out with the injury. So I think, you know, that's also helped them out. And Braden Holtby's been phenomenal for them. And speaking of Holtby, where do you think his save in Game 2 stacks up against some other big saves in recent NHL history?
Well, certainly up there, and especially if they win the Cup. If Washington wins three more games before Vegas does, it'll be looked at as one of the, you know, top five, top ten saves of all time, I'm sure. You know, on one hand, Tuck didn't elevate the puck. He shot it along the ice pretty low, but Holtby made the save. It was a tremendous save, and probably the save of the season so far by any goaltender. I compare it to the Fleury saves on Scheifele in Game 3 against Winnipeg. Two back-to-back unbelievable saves by Marc-Andre Fleury, which were probably the main reason the Golden Knights win that series. If Winnipeg scores there and they win the they lead the series 2-1, who knows? You know, you never know what might have happened and developed over the rest of that series. So, again, if the Caps win this series, that will be looked at as certainly one of the key moments, if not the key moment.
Yeah, because especially the I mean, there's like a minute left. The game was 3-2. If Vegas scores it, that game's probably going overtime.
Right, and absolutely. And if the Golden Knights take a 2-0 lead, it's an entirely different series.
Yeah, and especially with the Washington team that, as I said, you know, has had playoff disappointments recent years, it kind of brings like, oh, well, here we go again, as kind of, you know, creeping into their mind there. As a hockey fan in general, I know you don't really like to pick sides, but who are you rooting for to win this series?
Well, yeah, you're right. I never really root. You know, we try to be neutral as broadcasters. I think it would be tremendous either way, you know, if it's the Caps or the Golden Knights. I do have a special bond with Barry Trotz, the Washington coach. Back in 1990, my first job was in the American Hockey League with the Baltimore Skipjacks as the radio broadcaster, and to save money, they had the radio guy and the assistant coach room together on the road. So for 2 seasons, Barry Trotz was my road roommate. This is only 4 years after I graduated from Schreiber High School,
right.
22 years old, living on the road with the guy who's now the head coach of a team that could win the Stanley Cup. So would love to see Barry win at some point in his career, win a championship. He's already won at the AHL level and now has an opportunity to do it in the NHL. And the Golden Knights are a terrific team as well. I've known George McPhee, their general manager, for a long time. So we'll see what develops. But like I said, I go back a long way with Barry Trotz, and at some point would love to see him win a championship.
And McPhee was the assistant general manager with Washington, correct?
He was the previous general manager, yeah.
Okay, right, yeah, so.
Yeah, he spent, I think it was 18 years as general manager of the Caps, and his assistant was Brian McClellan, who wound up replacing George.
Right, okay.
They were college roommates, they were NHL teammates with the Rangers, and it's remarkable how things work out sometimes. Two good friends now going at it as the general managers of the two teams in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, very, they're more than just, you know, first-year franchises, a lot of different stories. And we get this every year, you know, the different stories of where these guys started and how they somehow end up back together again, which is very interesting to see.
Yeah, a lot of storylines like that in hockey. You know, you have Marc-Andre Fleury who won cups the last 2 years with the Penguins and faced the Capitals so many times in the playoffs, and now he's up against them again. You have Alex Ovechkin going for his first cup. You have Bate Schmidt on the Golden Knights, who was a member of the Caps the last 4 years. So sports and hockey in particular is a pretty small world sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Now, moving over, you know, you cover the Rangers on the radio during the regular season. They're not in the playoffs for the first time in a while. What are your thoughts on them hiring David Quinn to replace Alain Vigneault?
Well, you know, obviously we'll have to wait and see what the results are, but I don't really know David Quinn personally. Met him briefly at the press conference last week, but from all accounts, I know four or five people that know him well, that played for him, that have covered his teams at Boston University, and they all say he's a great guy and should have a lot of success as a coach in the NHL. It's a team in a bit of a transition. I think they'll still make some moves during the offseason, whether it's trades or free agency. They have a lot of draft picks. Henrik Lundqvist still at the top of his game. You know, you look at the first half of this past season, he was one of the top goalies in the league from late October through early January. So we'll see what some of the moves are that they do make. But as far as Quinn is concerned, hopefully he has a great run as Rangers coach. He's had some pro experience as a head coach in the American Hockey League, an assistant coach in the NHL. And like I said, four or five people that I spoke with have nothing but the top-notch words to say about him as far as a person and as a coach.
And, you know, obviously it'll probably be a little bit of a rough start for him because he's not going to have the talent that some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference have. From what I've heard, and obviously what you said backs that up, just how much the players like playing for him. Kevin Shattenkirk, I played for him at Boston University, so he knows him and has had really nothing but good things to say about him. How long do you think that this rebuild that the Rangers are undergoing is going to take before they get to really where they ideally want to be competing for a Stanley Cup?
You know, in hockey, Eric, you can turn it around pretty quickly. It only takes a couple of players, and they have some terrific young talent. We saw Filippito and Elias Anderson come up at the end of last season. Some of their other young players, Kevin Hayes, Jimmy Vesey, Brady Shea, those guys are going to be a big part of it because Zibanejad had a good year, Chris Kreider. So they'll integrate, I'm sure, some more of the young players into the lineup. But again, there are some big names out there in free agency. They have some extra draft picks that they could use in potential trades or keep them and select players. They have three first-round picks, seven picks in the top two rounds. So I certainly would not be shocked if they compete for a playoff position as soon as this coming season.
Definitely be exciting, especially with Henrik Lundqvist kind of, you know, in the back, however many years of his career he's got left. So we'll see how that goes. So that will do it for this edition of Sports Section. Kenny, again, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I know you got a very busy schedule, but nice to have you on again as a Schreiber alum, and hopefully we could continue doing this in the future. So thank you.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it, Eric, and good luck with graduation coming up at Schreiber and everybody's future endeavors, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.